Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. And we are joined live right now with two-time Super Bowl champion and former New York Giant, Perry Williams, as he joins the show live right now on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Good afternoon and Happy New Year, Mr. Williams.
This afternoon, and looking forward to talking with you a little bit with your audience, and we can go with it right away. Whenever you're ready to roll, let's get it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. As someone who watched Giants football for many years, it's definitely an honor to have you on the show. But also, more importantly, post NFL career, I have been really amazed by some of the things that you've done and the work that you've done away from the football field. Now, I want to start off with something that I read a few weeks back in a Newsday article, in which that you had an encounter with the late great former NC State basketball head coach Jim Valvano, and I want to ask you, like, what was your first impression of the late Jim Valvano and the type of impact that he's had on your life?
Oh, well, Coach V was a great guy. He was a great man, a great coach. Obviously, he did some great things there in NC State when I was going to school there in Raleigh, North Carolina. Coach V was a man with wisdom, or a man of passion, a man of great integrity and great character. So I picked that up from him, and over a period of time, we forged a little relationship, more or less of a bondage, like a mentor he became. Contrary to what people, maybe audience may think, what a football player and a basketball coach doing together.
Wow.
But it happened. It really did happen. He had pointed out to me in latter years later, because we had befriended each other in 1982. And obviously, if you know, he died in 1993. So those years in between that, we really forced a relationship, especially when I started playing for the New York Football Giants. But if I have to use one word to describe Coach V, Valvano, was great integrity. Integrity guy.
Now, another thing I wanted to touch on in terms of your relationship with Valvano. Now, everybody who follows sports has at least heard of the legendary speech that Valvano gave at the 1993 ESPYs. Now, my question to you is, what are some of your memories and recollections of that speech, and how much of an impact did it have on you in terms of your path post NFL career?
Well, it really started in 1982, going into my senior year, because I came out in 1983, left NC State, and go to the Giants in New York there. Is this the mere fact that it resonated with me, that 1993 ESPY Awards speech, and Never Give Up? And kind of ingrained that in me early on. Well, he had befriended me, as I said, in 1982. So along that time frame, he was a positive guy. He's very positive and a very passionate person. He loved people. He loved working with others. He loved giving, doing things to help others. And that really caught my eye early on with a lot of his basketball players that played for him. He was well-loved. He's beloved down here in North Carolina. He still is well-loved in Raleigh, North Carolina, or the state of North Carolina. Many people still think about him and talk about him, and obviously talk about the speech that he gave in 1993. I knew that he was very sick. Everybody knew that. I never had a chance to talk to him after that speech. I was able to call him because I had his number in his home where he lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, outside of Raleigh, called Cary. And his wife told me that he could not, talk to me. And I knew he was going down, and that really, kind of was distraught from that, because he had become a very good friend of mine. And but it carried on, it resonated with me, and so it took me into the world that I am now. I'm post-career, as you said. I got out of pro football for the New York Giants in 1994, and I went into education and working with outreach, working with young people. And my motto has always been, believing is achieving. If you can believe in anything, it's possible. You can achieve it. So I kind of got that from Coach V about never giving up, you know, refuse to lose, work hard, believe in yourself, and anything can happen. So that's the things that I thought about when I did see that particular session of the ESPY Awards televised event.
Yeah.
But you know, it still resonates with me now. Every now and then, when they do bring that out and they talk about it, or they show it on ESPN, some of the old footage, it is just resonating, and it kind of goes back in memory for me, how, you know, the relationship that he had forged with me about believing in myself and believing how to, you know, work hard and never give up mentality, and it just took me up to another level.
For those that are just joining live, we're talking with former New York Giant, two-time Super Bowl champion Perry Williams on the Shook Me Right Show here at 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. The next question I want to ask you is, now, I went to LIU myself.
Oh, okay.
And I was a journalism undergrad student major, and I one of the things that I learned about reading about your story is that you now teach sports business at LIU Post. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And one thing that I've always been curious about, because being the son of two former educators, my mom and dad were both teachers, and okay. and the one thing that is most certainly powerful in working with young students is, especially young adults, is you have the ability to make such a powerful impact on each individual that you work with, and as well as preparing them for what's to come outside of the four walls of the classroom. So my question to you is, what is your greatest joy that you get out of teaching college students about the business aspect of sports before they leave the campus for graduation?
Well, being it's a new program at LIU with the sports management curriculum, my joy will continually be to see the kids persevere and go out there and make positive things happen in their lives. The three things that I always tell young people, especially the higher education kids as well as the elementary, middle, and high school. So I'll go all the way through the whole process. But wow. Things that I say is, listen, I'm not here to give you a B12 shot. I'm not here to give you a hallelujah speech. I'm here to be transformational, to help you get you ready for life.
Yeah.
Believing is achievement. If you believe, you will achieve. The thing that I think, if you read that article in Newsday in New York,
yep,
paper some time ago, I guess it was in November,
yes,
the first thing they had on there with the topic was how to win. Most important thing that I teach a young man or a young woman is how to win in life. Not only on the sports endeavors, but to win in life in general. Be the best that you can possibly. Don't be good. Don't be outstanding. I want them to be great. Shoot for greatness. Don't shoot for being excellent. Don't shoot for being good. Don't shoot for being outstanding. Try to shoot for greatness.
Now, the one thing that I've learned and reading about your story, and as well as thinking about some of the lessons that I learned even when I was an undergrad student at Long Island University, is you never know who you're going to come across that's going to impact your life and whatever lesson or lessons that is imparted to you along the way, along your journey. Now,
right,
before you had entered the realm of the education world, you've had the opportunity to speak at various different locations and in different entities and so forth. What is one place that you spoke at that impacted you, not just only in terms of professionally, but as well as professionally and personally, that helped you become an even better educator than you were before?
Well, that's pretty easy. And I had the privilege in April of 2018 to speak at the Pentagon event for the Special Intelligence Officers.
Wow.
That was a great honor for me to be there with 350 brightest minds in the country, men and women. That really was a great trip, you know, an honor for me. It humbled me even more so. I've always considered myself a humble person, but that really humbled me. These men and women are giving their life and out up for people like ourselves, for America, to
absolutely
be able to walk and talk every day and go to work and do different things, various things through life. So that was probably my experience, my moment that in recent months or years or so that really formed a newfound aspect of what I want to do with my life and continue to do that to give back as much as I can. But to be able to talk to these men and women that particular night was a great honor for me, and I had the great privilege to be able to do that. And it changed me in the ways of make sure I continue to pay it forward and continue to work hard as I can to change some lives.
Now, I would be remiss if I did not ask about your playing career. Now, you played for the New York Giants from 1984 to 1993. And one of the things that I've, especially being a football historian and a football fan that I am, is that I noticed, especially the years that you played, is that, wait a minute, you played alongside the greatest defensive player in NFL history in Lawrence Taylor. But you also had some absolutely terrific, talented teammates on the defensive side of the ball, like George Marshall, as well as Carl Banks and Harry Carson. What were some of the things that made that Giants defense so special in the late 80s and early 90s, especially leading to towards their first two Super Bowl titles?
Well, that's pretty easy, brother Wright. We loved each other. We believed in each other. I guess the one word that comes to mind, selfless. It wasn't about I. It was about we. And we had that mindset. We will always supersede the me man mindset.
Yeah.
And so we believed in that, and that we work as a group, as a unit. If you work cohesively together, you have a chance to be successful. And we believed in it. We bought into the concept. When you believe in, when they say teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened. We just had a bunch of great ball players, but bought into the system, bought into the concept that we was going to work, we were going to play together, we were going to work together, and we were going to do the things that we need to do to become successful. And that's pretty much what we did.
Now, one of the coaches that was on Coach Parcells' staff was a gentleman by the name of Bill Belichick. Now, but I noticed that solicited a laugh. Now, I have to ask you, having him as a defensive coach during your tenure in New York, were you shocked by any of the successes that he had in New England, considering that you had a front row seat to what made him such a vital part of the Parcells coaching tree back in the 80s with the New York Giants?
Right. Well, I'm not surprised. No, to answer that question, I've had that question asked, posed to me before, and no, we knew that he was special. In 1984, 85, when we really started going and moving towards, winning a lot of games and started winning and going towards winning the first championship, 86, 87,
yeah.
We knew he was special. I knew he was special. I knew he was destined to be great in what he was doing, and obviously he showed that. It's nothing new to me. I'm not surprised at all because he had that talent. In the 80s, like you said, in the 90s, and I'm so happy for him. I hadn't talked to him in the last several years, but when I did talk to him, I congratulated him, and I'm proud of him for all his accomplishments.
For those just joining, we're talking with former New York Giant and two-time Super Bowl champion Perry Williams, now a professor at LIU Post here on the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Now, the next question I want to ask you is, now there's a lot that has been made in terms of the NFL and in the way that they handle CTE. Now, from everything that I've read and everything that I've come to understand, the NFL back when you played was a completely different game versus present day. And what is one thing that you've learned and one thing that has concerned you in terms of the NFL when it first began to learn about CTE, especially for guys that played in the 80s and 90s and even prior generations, in terms of how they were treating it and dealing with it versus like what they're doing now to promote safety in the game of football in the NFL by creating these new mandated concussion tents on the sideline during games.
Well, first and foremost, I am proud of the fact that the NFL has come to that conclusion that it is of the essence that the safety is the number one priority for all these young men that is playing out there. Obviously in the 80s, 70s, even the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, up into the early 80s, a lot of that wasn't really stressed that much. They didn't put a lot of emphasis on it, but as you still know now, as people witness watching, there's a lot of head trauma going on, a lot of things are happening with a lot of the guys, so safety is a key component. But as I said to someone recently, you can't make football for so much. Safety. It can be kind of diluted a little bit on the safety, but football is it's a barbaric sport. It's a tough, demanding sport. So you got to hit to play the game. No one is going to go to a game and play two-hand touch. You're not going to sell NFL tickets playing two-hand touch or flag football. That's not going to work. So I can appreciate what the NFL is doing now with the protocol, making sure guys are getting the direction that they needed to be gone towards from the doctors or the specialists or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see that, and I'm happy to know that they're continuing to push that real hard to try to protect the guys as much as possible. But as we all know, it is a barbaric sport, and it is a tough sport. And in society, as we see it, as we know it, contact. People love contact. People love excitement. So there's so much you can do to dilute it. But at the same token, I can appreciate that they're trying to help prevent major injuries if it's all possible.
Now, you spent 22 years as an adjunct professor and lecturer and administrator at Fairleigh Dickinson University. What were some of the experiences that you took from your 22 years at Fairleigh Dickinson that helped you that helped you along your new journey at LIU in terms of as an educator?
Well, dealing with people, you talk about leadership, you talk about teamwork concept, learning how to deal with people on a higher education level, not only just higher education, but just learning how to deal with people in general. I started a program with FDU,
yeah.
1985.
Wow.
I started going out to various schools, elementary, middle, and high schools. And I went from 1985 to 2017, to 800 schools in New York, New Jersey, and the state of Connecticut. And so I learned through that process, how to deal with people, developing your soft skills, they call it, in the business world, developing your people skills, some may call it. It's talking to people, leading by example. I think that's important.
Yeah.
You got to lead by example. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk a good game. But if you go out there, you got to lead up by example. You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to, get up your ass. I call it the foxhole. Get in the foxhole with your people and work all cohesively together. And that's how you're going to have success. And anything, I don't care if it's sports, I don't care if it's education, higher education, or in the business world, or whatever it is, the case is, if you got to lead, and you got to lead by example if you want to lead. It's an old adage that you say all the time, don't be the tail, be the head, lead.
Mm.
And so I believe in that, and my experiences through Fairleigh Dickinson at that time, FDU, it gave me the exposure, the being in the classroom. I did a lot of co-teaching with a lot of the instructors there. Just kind of set me on my way, and I just watched a lot of them, how they operated in the classroom, and I found that for me to be effective as a motivational speaker, if you want to call it that,
yeah.
Being as an instructor, going in the classroom and lecturing, you got that one word that I use all the time when I do a lot of presentations is authentic. You got to be authentic. You got to keep it real. You got to be real with people.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that that I've learned is that like you had the opportunity to speak with incarcerated boys and girls in Bergen County, and
right
now when you now when you're speaking with these with young or young boys and girls who happen to be in prison, what is one message that you really drive home to these young men and women who are going to be looking for that second chance once they get out of prison, should they get out of prison?
Well, the one word that comes to my mind is believe. Don't lose your faith. Keep believing. Believing is achieving. Never give up. The Jim Vivano speech, never give up.
Yeah.
Refuse to quit. Refuse to lose. I use those phrases all the time. I was working with the Bergen County, New Jersey Incarcerated Juvenile Justice Program. I ran that. I worked with that program for 5 years in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I was had the great honor and privilege of working with incarcerated boys and girls, 13 to 17 year olds. And so you go in there and you, now I'm doing the work at the university, and then I'm going backwards and go down and work with these kids.
Wow.
So that gave me a great platform. It gave me great experience. It gave me versatility, another word that I like to use, because I was able to learn how to talk to kids on every different level, elementary, middle, high school level, and obviously the collegiate level. That was one of the things I took away for all of this stuff that I've been able to do over the years, that I wasn't this one-dimensional. Those years of 22 years I was there gave me a whole different platform. I could go in different directions. I wasn't this one-dimensional. I was diverse, and that really helped me in many ways.
We're talking with Mr. Perry Williams, former New York Giants, two-time Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants, and as well as former professor, administrator, and lecturer at Fairleigh Dickinson, now the director of the Sports Management Program at Long Island University here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Now, the next question I want to ask you is, we talked about the defense earlier for the New York Giants, for the teams that you played for. Now, one of the things that I've always wanted to ask for any former teammate of Lawrence Taylor for the Giants, and one thing I've learned in watching his documentary, which aired on NFL Network in 2018, was what was your first impression when you first practiced and played with Lawrence Taylor on the football team, on the football field, as to what he brought to the defense?
Well, first and foremost, I take your brother Wright, take you further back. I played against Lawrence Taylor in college.
Oh, wow, that's right. You went to UNC, correct, right?
That's right. So he was at UNC when I was at North Carolina State.
Yeah.
And he was two years ahead of me, of course.
Wow.
He was, so I saw him in action for 2 years, my first 2 years at NC State. Then he got drafted in 81 by the Giants. And so happened to be, 2 years later, I was drafted by the Giants in 83.
Mm.
So getting there, I knew he was special. He was a special talent. People up north did not know about him across the country, but everybody in the ACC, West Coast Conference, knew about it in college, knew he was going to be a great one. And when he got to the NFL, then obviously, it kind of spoke for itself. But I wasn't that, when I got there, I already knew what he could do for the most level, what he had done in college. And he just took it to another level when he got up there in New York. And I had the great honor and privilege of playing, as you said early on, playing right beside him. Out of my 11 years up with the Giants, I was with him. I had a chance to be on the field with him 10 years.
Wow.
So I played a long time with him. It's only two guys. I went back and did a little check, fact check myself a while back, and I tried to find out how many guys played with him for 10 years or more.
Wow.
And there was only a couple guys who played with him for 10 years or more. With the Giants in his tenure, when he was there for his 13 years, a guy named Phil Sims, the quarterback,
yes,
and myself, we're the only two that played with him at least 11 years or more.
Wow. Now, I got to ask you, now you had 18 career interceptions in your career. Now, did you ever have an opportunity to pick off Joe Montana at any point in your career?
Did I ever get Joe? I think I got it once. Once or twice, something like that. And people ask me the question, who was the greatest quarterback that I ever played against, and I played against some great ones. Jim Kelly,
yes.
Cam Marino, John Elway, you name them. But Joe Montana by far the best to me.
What was so special about Joe Montana? What made him very difficult to defend against if you played in the secondary?
Well, if I can use the analogy or use the example of a surgeon, he was like a surgeon on the field. He cut, he sliced and diced you to death. He would get you all misdirection. He'd get you all off your game if you wasn't really zoned in and tuned in on what you was doing, because he was just that terrific. A heck of a competitor himself. And he had the tools to work with. When you got people like Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and the other receiver Taylor, mm-hmm. and the White Clark. I mean, he had a a visceral of guys over there with him too. But but he was just a tough competitor, and I enjoyed playing against him. I got a chance to know him a little bit throughout the years when I was playing, and he obviously was playing. And great guy, but he was a fierce competitor when it came down to play. But yes, he was a number one guy. I would say was the toughest guy.
Now, I got about three more questions left, and one of them I want to ask is, when you look back in your career, and you look back at the years that you play with the Giants, and you played on some absolutely terrific teams, what is your proudest single accomplishment that you still look back and you say, wow, I can't believe I did this?
Well, that's easy for me. The proudest accomplishment is being on two Super Bowl championship teams. I was just dying and hoping that someday, growing up as a young boy, to get on one Super Bowl team. I ended up with two, and that's really that's a proud moment for me, because I didn't do it by myself. It's called teamwork makes the dream work.
Absolutely.
And I was together with all these great ball players. We had a visceral great ball, Mark Mavaro, Joe Morris, and then O.J. Anderson got traded to us, and we just had a litany of guys. We had great guys who were great athletes, and it was natural great athletes, and the very tough, mentally tough, physically tough, and we played together. It was all about we. We won. We had a lot of great success together.
Now, I got to ask you about Super Bowl 25 and that 1990 New York Giants. Now, that was a very unique time, because not only as pertained to the NFL, but in regards to the world at large. It was the start of the Persian Gulf War. When you played that game. Now, what are some of your biggest memories from that Super Bowl Sunday leading into the game, as to your preparation, as well as some of the pomp and circumstance that took place prior to the start of the game?
Well, I can say this: God bless the dead to this one particular lady, and she was from New Jersey, and she was a big Giants fan, and she sung the national anthem, Whitney Houston. That turned it around for her.
That's right.
Whitney Houston was a big Giant fan. Maybe people knew that. Maybe people did not know that. But she was a Giant fan, and to see her, the rendition that she sung, I mean, if you look at some of them documentaries, go back on that, and it wasn't a dry day on the field or in the stands. And she changed it around for us. She took us to another level. And after she sung the national anthem, she ran off to our sideline. She said, go get them, guys. Go Giants. And it was a tough game, as everybody, if you can remember that. It was a tough physical game. Buffalo had a great team. Jim Kelly, all those guys, Thurman Thomas and James Lawson and Andre Reed, they had their team over there. But it was, as they say in the sports world, it was a dogfight. But we persevered, and we was able to get through it. And thank God we was able to win it.
Now, last question I have for you. Now, like, once a Giant, always a Giant. And I cannot don't let this interview pass by without asking. I don't know if you still pay attention to what's going on with the team and the organization from a distance, but so much has changed with the decade that just ended yesterday with the New York Giants organization, stemming from the ownership, but as well as the personnel decisions on field and so forth. Now, what would you say is the number one difference in terms of why the New York Giants have struggled to have any type of continuity within the last 4 or 5 years, as compared to at the beginning of the 2010s, when they were although they had some hiccups along the way, but by and large they were successful.
Well, Yeah, well, that's pretty easy for me. And I answer that for you, Doc. Mr. Wright, they don't believe. When you don't believe, you will not achieve. You got to believe. It's the key. That's the number one word. You got to believe. You got to believe that you can achieve it. You got to believe that you can do it. If you don't believe, the mind is a funny thing. When you don't believe it, it's a theory that I teach on the class, one class I teach in the psychology of sports at LIU. And it's one theory that I talk about. It's a self-determination theory. If you don't believe that you can do it, then you won't do it.
Mm.
It's all starts in the mind over matter. You got to be able to do things when nobody else is watching, go out working out, preparation, getting ready for the spring, the winter months, the spring month, getting ready for training camp, getting ready for the season, getting ready for the playoffs. That's a mindset thing. When you don't believe in it, and then you're just going through the motions, that's what kind of end results that you're going to get. You'll get a losing, and you're going to have people pointing fingers and people saying this and people saying that. You're never going to have the continuity. As I was telling you earlier, that's why people like Arn Silver, the greatest he was, he knew he could not do it without me. He knew he could not do it without Phil Simms. He could not do it without Carl Banks doing his job, or Harry Carson, or Joe Morris doing his job, or Mark Bavaro doing his job as a tight end. We all had to do it as a group. It's called unisys. And that's the problem.
Wow.
When they start believing that they can get something done, then they'll start winning. Until then, they'll still be going in the same old circle. Yeah, that's my take on it.
It's been an absolute honor and a privilege to speak with you, Mr. Williams, and thank you so much for the work that you have done at Fairleigh Dickinson, as well as the work you continue to do at LIU Post, and for everything that you on that you've done on the field as well as off the field. Thank you so much for taking the time here on New Year's Day to come on the show. Much appreciated, and I'll always remember this interview and the opportunity I had to speak with you on the show.
Man, I appreciate you having me on there, Mr. Wright. It was a privilege. It was an honor. And, you know, Happy New Year to all your audience there, and prosperous New Year. And I hope they could continue to do some great things with themselves and with your listening audience.
Definitely. Much appreciated. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. That was former New York Giant and two-time Super Bowl champion Perry Williams, who joined us live on the Strictly Right Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Coming up next, I'll share with you some of my thoughts on the interview and so forth. But first, before we go, gotta play so PSA and allow the station to identify itself. This is Strictly Right. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
And as well as a PSA brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Thanks to 91.5 FM WMFO for the PSA. Coming up next, final thoughts on the Perry Williams interview, as well as your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Pasa y pasa y yo sigo así, queriéndote mis brazos sin poder detener, y busco una salida para no verme así. Ay, que lejos de mi lado tu amor está de mí. Yo lloro y lloro al saber que no estás. Con mis labios, mira mami, yo te quiero besar. Y trato y trato por no sentirme así, pero es malo saber.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio. I interrupt the break because I have to bring you some breaking news, and this is not good news at all. Former NBA commissioner David Stern has passed away at age 77 as a result of the brain hemorrhage that he suffered about 3 weeks ago. This is just in. Just now, into the studio here at WMFO, David Stern has passed away this afternoon as a result of the brain hemorrhage he suffered 3 weeks ago. He was 77 years old, and Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, has issued the following statement, quote, "For 22 years, I had a courtside seat to watch David in action. He was a mentor and one of my dearest friends. We spent countless hours in the office, at arenas, and on planes wherever the game would take us. Like every NBA legend, David had extraordinary talents, but with him, it always was about the fundamentals, preparation, attention to detail, and hard work. David took over the NBA in 1984 with the leagues at a crossroads. But over the course of 30 years as commissioner, he ushered in the modern global NBA. He launched groundbreaking media and marketing partnerships, digital assets, and social responsibilities programs that have brought the game to billions of people around the world. Because of David, the NBA is truly a global brand, making him not only one of the greatest sports commissioners of all time, but also one of the most influential business leaders of his generation. Every member of the NBA family is a beneficiary of David's vision, generosity, and inspiration. Our deepest condolences goes out to David's wife, Diane, their sons, Andrew and Eric, and their extended family, and we share our grief with everyone whose life was touched by him. David Stern, former NBA commissioner, has passed away at age 77. We'll be right back shortly. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. For those that just tuned in, the breaking news I just broke about a couple of minutes ago. David Stern, former NBA commissioner, has passed away at age 77 as a result of the brain hemorrhage he suffered 3 weeks ago. And some really heartbreaking news to NBA fans all across, and the entire NBA family is truly devastated by David Stern's passing, and his legacy that he leaves behind without question will never be forgotten. We got about 15 minutes left in the show. The phone lines are open. You want to share your thoughts on the NBA, anything, as well as the interview that I just wrapped up with Perry Williams, two-time Super Bowl champion, former New York Giant cornerback, and I definitely have a lot I want to share with you as well. I also want to share with the listener as well. You can call into the show 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So with that being said, it was a tremendous interview that that took place today, this afternoon, with Mr. Perry Williams, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to have had a chance to interview him, as well as someone who deserves a great deal of credit. And I simply want to say a special thank you to Mr. Benton. Don't want to give away his entire name, but Mr. Benton, thank you for what you did for helping me set up the interview and so forth. Your efforts and your hard work and your selflessness is greatly and immensely appreciated. Just wanted to do that. And as for the interview itself, it was definitely very, very informative, and as well as it was entertaining as well. You know, just listening to him talk about, you know, those Giants teams that he played on, as well as talk about his work away from the football field, in the education realm, having the opportunity, you know, speak at the Pentagon and so forth, as well as talking to incarcerated young men and women as well. It was It was a little bit of everything, very balanced, and I couldn't be more happier to have the opportunity to speak with them. And one thing that I do know is this. Never, ever underestimate the impact that you're going to have on people. Never. Because you don't know how much you may mean to someone until they tell you exactly how much of an impact, you know, that you have made on their lives. And one of the great things about having a public forum, or, and dare I say, a platform that I have, is you just don't know who's listening. You never know who's listening, who's paying attention to you. And one of the terrific things about being a radio broadcaster is you're afforded the opportunity to be able to share your thoughts and to share your passion and to share your love for what you do with those who enjoy listening to you. And the one thing that I'm learning in my journey, because it's a learning process every single day, is that take what you have been blessed with and use it as an opportunity to be able to do good. Not just be good, but do good. Because you never know the kind of impact that you can have on someone. And I never take for granted for the fact that interviews like today with Mr. Perry Williams, in which it could be heard by, frankly, millions on a TuneIn radio app, on TuneIn.com, across the world on WMFO.org. You never know how your words and your actions can absolutely be a positive impact. And one of the things that I took away from the interview, in which at the beginning I talked about and I asked about his relationship with the late Jim Valvano, formerly the coach, basketball coach at NC State, who passed away in 1993 from cancer. And he talked about how his relationship with him had such a profound impact. And one of the things that stood out to me was the message of don't give up, don't ever give up, resonated with him, and how that is also a driving fuel to the message that he now delivers. And it's truly something that a lot of people can use. And here we are on the first day of a new decade and a new year in 2020. My passionate message to all of you is simply this. No matter what your dream is, no matter what your goal is, no matter what you aspire to be in life, if you have a drive and a will that is absolutely unshakable, keep chipping away. Keep working. Keep grinding. Because at some point, it's going to pay off. It's going to come to fruition. And as you heard Mr. Williams say, you gotta believe. That's not a small thing at all. You have to believe. You have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe that you are going to accomplish what you set your mind to. And here in 2020, I want to put out a challenge to all of my fans and to all of the listeners. And that challenge is, no matter what happens in life, no matter what goes on in life, create your goals and smash it, and you keep elevating. Don't settle. Elevate. Continue to elevate. You have every reason to believe in yourself. And I know for a fact that greatness does lie in every one of you. And the truth is, at the end of the day, you got to put in that work. You can call into the show. We got about 5 minutes left. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We'll be back on the air on Friday, same time from 3 to 5, special time. And as well as my regular slot on Saturday afternoon from 5 to 6. And Saturday, we're going to do a preview of the Titans and Patriots game Saturday night. That's an 8:15 kickoff. For those that haven't had the chance to look at the NFL schedule for this weekend's AFC, for the wild card matchups, our New England Patriots, they're playing at 8:15 Saturday night. So I'll be on the air from 5 to 6 on Saturday. Same time it's been for the last several months now. Talking about the matchup, what to look out for, and what are going to be some of the key matchups that the Patriots will have to win in order to advance onto Kansas City. And I want to wrap up the show by saying the following. Remember when, back when, you were a young sports fan, and that first feeling of going to your first sporting event, that childlike feeling and exuberance as you rooted for your first and your favorite team and the team that's closest to your heart. I remember that feeling. I remember that feeling quite well. And actually, that feeling is what drove me towards radio. And one of the great things that I enjoy, even now as an adult, is you get to share your passion and talk about it with your friends. And as we begin the new year and the new decade, I mentioned there's a lot of question marks in regards to the Boston sports landscape. You know, kids here in New England have been spoiled the last 20 years. If you're 21 years old or younger, all you've known is your team's winning a championship. That same excitement, that same exuberance, times 5, 6, we've been spoiled. And I want to talk about this on Friday. Furthermore, for this decade in Boston sports, what exactly are we going to be looking at and looking ahead to as we move forward? Starting with the Patriots. And I'm going to talk about that in much greater detail on Friday. So set the alarm, set the reminder. I'll even tweet it out. I'll be on the air Friday afternoon from 3 to 5. And I have a special surprise. I have an interview scheduled with a Canadian football player. No, seriously. A player who currently plays in the CFL. He is going to join the show on Friday. It's a player by the name of Zachary Medeiros. He plays for the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. He's going to join the show this Friday at 3:30. So you're not going to want to miss that. First time we've had a CFL player on the show. But he'll be on the show live at 3:30. You're not going to want to miss that. So thanks to all of you who joined, who called in today. And thanks to Mr. Perry Williams for an incredible interview today. And thanks to all of you who listened in to the Shukri Wright Show. Happy New Year to every one of you. And I'll be back on the air on Friday from 3 to 5, as mentioned. Zachary Medeiros of the CFL of the Toronto Argonauts will join the show at 3:30. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day. It looks like we have time travel that's coming up next. So stay tuned. Enjoy the rest of your day. And Happy New Year, everybody.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By